This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Photojournalist Chris Hondros was killed in Libya Wednesday. He was doing what Chris did, working in a place where we wouldn't go to send us images that we need to see. Chris grew up in Fayetteville and graduated from North Carolina State University. He eventually went on to work at the Fayetteville Observer. After that, it was off to New York City. He became an award-winning journalist and a finalist for the 2004 Pulitzer Prize for Breaking News Photography. But those kind of accolades weren't as important to him as telling the story. In one of his most famous photographs taken in 2003, a young Liberian militia commander jumps for joy after firing a rocket launcher. That photo went around the world, and Chris could have left it at that. But 2 years later, he returned to Liberia and tracked down that young man to a shanty in Monrovia. He was no longer a soldier, and he seemed aimless, so Chris helped him to enroll in school. Friends say that's the kind of guy Chris was. He was concerned not just with the photos, but the people behind them. We have a couple of those friends with us today. J.D. Pooley is joining us by phone. He knew Chris since the 1990s when they worked together at the Troy Daily News in Ohio. And our own producer, Amber Nimix, is here in our studio. She was a longtime friend of Chris and worked with him at the Fayetteville Observer. J.D. and Amber, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be here.
Amber, Chris's war photography made the front pages of periodicals around the world. What do you think made his photos so compelling?
I think that Chris was always taking pictures of people, no matter where he was, whether he was doing a local story about, you know, shopping at the Kmart, or if he was dodging bullets in a danger zone. He was looking for how people were being affected by the news. And because he felt very urgently, I think, that it was his role and his responsibility to bring the stories of other humans to back to those people, those of us who are safe at home.
J.D., you are a photojournalist yourself. What does it take to snap those kind of pictures under the circumstances that Chris found himself in much of the time?
Yeah, Frank, that's just one of the things that made, you know, Hondros so special. When he was in conflict zones, he could concentrate, think about every move that he was making. I can remember talking to him when he first started covering battles, excuse me, in Afghanistan. He was James Nachwe, one of the most, you know, famous photographers that have been doing this for 30 years. He used to watch him, and we would talk about him and the moves that he would make, and Chris would point out how calm he was, and, you know, always watching his back and making sure every step that he took in every situation was the right move.
We talked with Chris back in 2009 on this program and asked him what it takes to be a good war photographer, and here's what he said.
I would say that the person, some people's personality types can deal with chaos, can deal with uncertainty. They don't need to have things the same way every day. They can, and I think I'm that way, whether it's shaped me or I was like that in the first place, I'm not sure. And I think that's really the critical issue. The real adrenaline type junkies I've noticed, who are often attracted to photography and to war photography, do not last very long, actually. They go on a few trips, but if you're doing it for that reason, it's not going to fulfill you for long.
That's Chris Hondros, who spoke with us on the State of Things in 2009. Amber Nimix, he did war photography. That's what we know him for. But you know him at a time long before he was off in battle zones. And you say he took as much time and paid as much attention to stuff that most photographers and even reporters didn't want to touch.
Yeah, Chris never did anything halfway, not in his life and not in his personal life or professional life. I worked with him. There was a really great group of us at the Fayetteville Observer in the mid to late 90s. And I was the editor of the Saturday Extra community news special. So you can imagine I handed out some really less than prize assignments of, you know, a Boy Scout Eagle Award ceremonies and Pet of the Week and that kind of thing. And Chris, we all knew that Chris was destined to go on to much greater things. But he, you know, he never stuck up his nose at that sort of thing. He would take a picture for all it was worth. My husband, who also worked with him there, we all worked together at that time. They got the assignment, the inevitable December 26th assignment, to go and cover people bringing toys back to Kmart, which is, you know, just about the laziest thing that any editor ever, like, thought of. And Chris, you know, rather than just going in there and, like, you know, snapping some shots and leave, he was climbing the shelves to get the very best shot of people bringing toys back to Kmart that he could possibly get, you know. And the security at Kmart was like, get down off, you know, you were going to get sued, you know. It didn't matter. He found the shot no matter what. He worked it.
And JD, apparently it wasn't just about the shot. You talked about a story that you remember from your days at the Troy Daily News in Ohio of Chris doing a photo shoot, a story on a man who is homeless in Miami County. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was when Chris was going to grad school at OU. We heard about a homeless man living in a really sketchy shelter. We did a little research on the gentleman. It turns out he had some mental issues. No one really knew too much about him. They said he might be armed, but, you know, that didn't deter Chris. You know, he went right in. He wanted to meet this man. He wanted to tell a story. It took a while for the man to open up, and Chris had that time. You know, he spent close to a week with this gentleman, you know, driving him into town, taking him out to eat, you know, actually friending this man. Because, you know, that's the right thing to do. Chris wouldn't show up just to shoot a photo of him and say, you know, thank you very much, I got what I needed. He wanted to know this person.
Very particular guy, very particular about his work. What was he like to work with, Amber?
He was always thinking about the subject, always thinking about the person who he was. Like JD said, he was not just there to get the shot. He wanted it to be a good experience. I remember one time talking with him about, we were taking a picture of someone who, just an average person who wasn't used to having their picture taken. And I kept using the word shoot. I was like, do you want to shoot him over there? You want to shoot him over here? What? And he just looks at me, he says, stop saying shoot. You know, like, that was lingo that, you know, we certainly use with each other in the newsroom. But this person, he wanted to photograph him. He wanted the person who he was taking the picture of to be comfortable with the process. And,
well, you know, JD, that raises the question, though. Guys like that who are that good can be a little prickly to work with. Did you ever get that sense?
Oh, no. Chris, you know, Chris was a true professional. Again, whoever he photographed, whatever situation he was in, you know, I can remember one time he was in New York City in a mosque, and I actually called him and his cell phone went off, and I couldn't imagine how embarrassing, you know, that must have been for him. And immediately, you know, called me right when he got back out on the street, and he didn't chew me out. He just, you know, he laughed it off, and, you know, that was just Chris's personality.
We talked about him working in war zones. He's been to Liberia. He's been to Afghanistan, Iraq several times, Egypt. He was in Tahrir Square during the worst of it, and then finally in Libya. What effect do you think that kind of work had on him over time? You've known him for a long time, Amber. Can you tell?
Well, as we didn't talk about it much, it's kind of like talking to a soldier. They will tell you the stories they want to tell you, and then they deal with the horrors the way that they have to deal with them. It made him a much more deeper, much more thoughtful person as time went by. You know, he thought about the places that he went and the conflicts that he covered in the context of the larger political and historical movements. You know, he was always reading. He was always learning. He was always, I think, trying to make sense somehow of the things that he saw. And he always felt like it was a privilege for him to be there. And because he was at the places where people were most vibrantly alive, most incredibly alive. And that was something that was, everyone who knows him will recall that about him, was that he was incredibly alive. He always just so energetic, and he you know, took it as an honor to be where other people were really just living 100%.
What would you say, JD, about the impact?
Absolutely. I can remember a time he was with a group of high school students, and he covered quite a few battles, and he was showing some of his, you know, war photography. He had nice 8x10 prints, and when he was explaining to the kids about the pictures, it wasn't about, look at this great image I made, look how I framed it, look at the light. It was nothing about that. It was about the people that he photographed, the area that he was in, what's happening to these people. He wanted to educate these high school kids about where he was and what is going on. How can you help these people? This is a situation going on. All you young kids need to be educated about this region in the world that I was in. And that's what made Honduras so special.
I put that question to him in a 2009 interview. Let's hear what he had to say.
Well, it can't help but affect you, of course. You know, this is, you're seeing such extraordinary scenes. A lot of scenes of pain and, you know, exposed to a lot of difficult situations. You're also exposed to hopeful, exhilarating situations, which on some level balances it out, I hope. And I think on balance, I appreciate and feel privileged to be doing the work that I do. And when I get down or depressed about it, I think about how fortunate I've been in my work and life, and I try not to get too self-absorbed about it. You know, I try to be a bit of a medium here and just keep myself going in a way that reflects the extraordinary things that I'm able to see and do.
Chris Honduras speaking on the state of things in 2009. Chris was killed in Libya Wednesday along with fellow photojournalist Tim Hetherington. They were covering a battle between Libyan rebels and government troops in Misrata. Chris was 41 years old. Amber, JD, thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you.
To learn more about Chris Honduras or to see some of his work, you can go to chrishonduras.com. Our program continues after a short break on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.